have to raise our voices.
I hope folks are able to hear me up here, but I was just going to take a couple of minutes to, and this will be the only very brief speeches that we have, so please come on in close and don't worry about crowding, getting too crowded here. I've got lots of space. I just did want to say, first and foremost, thanks to all of you for coming out on a Sunday afternoon to this event. Thanks to Jeremy and, I forgot your name, Bonnie, for Beautiful Hair, for allowing us to come by and stop to a great haunt in Lower Lonsdale where people sort of get in touch with great food. I want to take the opportunity to introduce Lana Popham, the BC NDP's agriculture critic. And Lana is not merely a politician, which isn't easily a mere thing to do, but Lana is also an active farmer herself. Before getting involved in politics in 2009, Lana ran a farm, an organic farm, or vineyard, in fact, in the South Island, and she's had a great vegetable business associated with that as well. And she knows agriculture and the importance of food inside out. And I have to say that in the last 4 years, she has been an extremely steady hand on behalf of the NDP on agricultural and food issues in the province of British Columbia. And she's done a great job of articulating the way in which we as a province, which contains big food producers and small food producers, ranchers and local farmers, organics and traditional, she has articulated a way of saying that we can work together for the importance of a great food future for this province, recognizing that we stand in an environment where we're challenged by genetically engineered organisms, where we're challenged by climate change, and she's finally taking food seriously, and I don't think that's been done enough in the province of British Columbia for many, many years. So I'd like to welcome one of the great stars of the BC NDP, Lana Popham.
Craig, it's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the invitation. And of course, you know, we're supposed to be back in our own constituencies, knocking on doors and making sure that we get re-elected ourselves. But it is a great pleasure to come over here and stand with Craig, because I want him in our caucus. He understands the issues that I've been working on, and his energy bringing that into our caucus will be such a pleasure. We need more on our farm team. So it's been a great journey the last 4 years, being the agriculture critic for the NDP. As Craig said, I was a farmer for a decade before I came into politics, and the only reason I entered into politics was because of agriculture. I said to myself, I watched my friends fight to farm, and I thought, there's too many things that are going wrong, there's too many blockades up against farmers, and so I need to go in on the inside and fix things so that I can come back out and continue to farm. And so that's still my plan, although I see a few more years in politics ahead of me to fix things. So Corky Evans gave me a call last week, and he said, I think that you and I are the longest running agriculture critics in the province. And I said, oh yeah? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, that's funny, because I was just talking to some stakeholder groups, and they said, you know, Lana, we're not NDP, and we're not really sure we really even like you, but we're sure getting used to you. And I thought that was a great reflection, because in the 4 years that I've been agriculture critic, there's been four agriculture ministers. And so it really shows you the type of priority that the BC Liberals have put on agriculture. It's a stepping stone ministry. It's where ministers get their training wheels. And as far as I'm concerned, I couldn't imagine anything better than being an agriculture minister in this province. Corky said to me that he felt that he had failed in his time as agriculture minister and agriculture critic for the NDP. And it was really hard to hear that, because I've always really looked up to Corky Evans as a champion for agriculture, and the conversations he was having with the stakeholder groups, and the way he went out, and he was the type of minister that didn't have handlers around him. He spoke face to face, and he told me when I became the agriculture critic, you know, an agriculture critic's office is the province of British Columbia. You don't spend time at your desk. And I took that literally, and I've been traveling all around the province talking to stakeholders. And I thought to myself, every stakeholder group brings up Corky Evans and said what a great job he was doing. So I decided that Corky actually didn't fail. It's just that the time that he was working in failed him. he was saying the same things that we're saying today, but people weren't listening like they are today. This is the time for agriculture. This is the time to renew our food system in BC. And so I've been thinking about that for the last 4 years, and from that has come our agriculture platform. And I'm going to share that with you today. I won't go into great detail because our full platform will be released in about a week and a half, but I'm going to give you some of the exciting highlights. So, I'm just going to also tell you that Corky phones me quite often, and he phones me with some good news stories. And when I'm kind of, you know, trudging along in the trenches thinking, politics sucks, I'll get this cell phone call. Hey, Lana, it's Corky. And I'm like, oh, hey, Corky. How's your day going? Well, I don't know. It's okay. Well, never mind that. I've got some good news for you. And I'd be like, what is it? Oh, I harvested 1,000 pounds of potatoes today. It's Corky's farm meat now. And so, of course, that makes me smile. And I say, Corky, that's great news. And he says, that's not the good news, Lana. What is it, Corky? I sold them all. And again, that's a reflection on what's important in agriculture. We can all be passionate about food, and we can all renew our food system, but if farmers aren't making a living, and we're not recognizing it as an economic driver, then we're not going to solve the problem. So part of the agriculture platform addresses that. It's a three-step platform, and it's really easy to talk about, and I think it's quite exciting the way we're going to market our agriculture platform. The first part of it is called Grow BC. The second part is called Feed BC. And the third part is called Buy BC. So Grow BC addresses policies that affect farmers and our agricultural land. One of the things that we're going to do, which is a symbolic change, it doesn't cost any money, but it gives you an idea of where we're going and the direction we're going, is we're going to change the name of the ministry. And it's going to be the Ministry of Agriculture and Sustainable Food Systems. And that should really give you an indication where we're going. We don't want agriculture to be a stepping stone ministry that stands off on itself and is a skeleton ministry. We want to bring it in and connect it to other ministries like health. We are also going to reinstate the Standing Committee on Agriculture within the legislature. This standing committee did amazing work, and it was disbanded in 2001. And this is a committee where stakeholders and now consumers, people involved in food, can come and talk to the people making the policy decisions so that policies are based on real life and not made by politicians who might make decisions that destroy part of our food system like we saw with the meat regulations over the last 8 years. The next thing that we're going to do, and this is something that's critical to having new farmers and supporting existing farmers, is that we're going to support extension services and field services. This is something that's been completely neglected in the Ministry of Agriculture, and it's critically important. All stakeholder groups, large and small, need this service. So that means we're going to be working with more agrologists and soil scientists and people that can help farmers plan for the future. It's critically important. I think about when I used to farm, I used to be able to call into the Ministry of Agriculture and ask about a disease problem, and I'm not kidding you, an extension officer would come to my farm. Now, you call in, and they're so strapped for employees, and the budget is so small, that as an organic farmer, as I was, I would now have to call in and share an organic extension officer just by phone with the same person who's in charge of all leafy vegetables in BC. That's crazy. So we will reinstate funding for that kind of thing. The funding for the organic extension officer was cut right out of the budget 2 years ago. It was $87,000 in the provincial budget. To think that that was a good idea is absurd. So we've committed to bringing that back. We will also be support continual renewal of the agricultural land reserve and the commission that is in charge, that's mandated to protect our agricultural land. A part of the mandate that they haven't been able to address is, there's a two-part mandate for the commission, and it's to preserve our agricultural land for food growing purposes for the future, and the other one is to encourage farming, and they haven't been able to focus on that one. So I think working with them and having an appropriate agriculture plan for BC, that's the role that they can play, and of course is a resource that we can use as the provincial government. So that's a little bit of Grow BC, and of course there's more detail, but that's sort of how we would expect to support farmers. They're not huge steps. It's not a massive change in the agriculture budget because we don't have a lot of money to work with, but they're small practical changes. The second part of our platform is extremely exciting, and it's called Feed BC. And this would mean it's a policy that would it would be a policy for institutional purchasing. So hospital meals in British Columbia and long extended care meals. All institutional purchases of food would have to be up to 30% BC grown food. This doesn't sound like it's that much. This is a massive shift in policy. So that means our provincial dollars that are currently going towards purchasing hospital food, we're purchasing a lot of food from places, in some cases we don't even know, but Ontario and the United States. If we did 30% of what we need coming from BC, we couldn't even do that right now. So this is a huge incentive. It's a stable market for our farmers to sell into, and it changes everything. I'll give you a concrete example. If you look at I'm just going to have to take a sip of water. If you look at southwestern British Columbia as a bioregion, we have four health authorities. Over a year, we spend $50 million on hospital food. $50 million. Now, I'm not saying that's too high or too low. That's just what it is. If 30% of that went to BC agriculture, you would see a huge injection into the agricultural community. And there's studies coming out of Harvard and Ontario that state that if you purchase local food for institutional buying, the money spent stays in the economy much longer than if you would buy it otherwise. We all know that. So that's about the economy, and it's also about stability, and it's about incenting new farmers to come in. Because like Corky says, the only reason people can get into farming and stay there is if they can afford to do it and they can make a living. And that's really a focus of ours. The third part of our plan is called Buy BC, and we've heard of this before. Buy BC was a provincial marketing plan that agriculture used. It was the most successful plan that agriculture has seen. About 87% of people recognized the Buy BC logo. Now, it was so successful that the BC Liberal government cut it because they didn't want a successful program that the NDP had brought in. It was cut simply for partisan reasons. And that, to me, is just ridiculous. Agriculture is one of the areas that doesn't need to be partisan. It just needs to have good policy, and that was one of them. But, of course, we have the ability to modernize that. We have different tools that we can use. We've got, obviously, the internet and other ways of giving the message to people about how important it is to buy British Columbia products. And it won't just relate to agriculture. It'll extend out to other things. When I brought this up in the legislature for the 100 gazillionth time over the last 4 years, the Liberals often talk about protectionism, that I'm a protectionism, I don't understand free enterprise, I'm not a business person. Well, most farmers are business people, and I do understand it, and I know that the only way a marketing program can work properly is if everybody's included, and so that's what we're going to do. Now, the minister one day said to me, the fourth minister or the third minister or the second, whatever minister I was dealing with, he said, you know, you don't get it because we've got a new way of doing things. I was like, really? What is it? Well, we're using Facebook. And I said, I know, I'm your 31st friend on your IBC Facebook page. It's not working out. Anyway, so that's an example how we just see things differently. And the Liberals have tried every way they can to bring back a local marketing program for agriculture in every way except calling it Buy BC and funding it as a provincial-wide program. So we're committed to doing that. So anyway, that is a little taste of our agriculture platform. It's nothing, you know, that's going to take 30 pages to write about, and there's a lot of stuff that can fall under those headlines that we will work on if the government changes. The idea that we would have the opportunity to do this is very exciting, isn't it?
It is.
It's not just exciting, but for agriculture, it's critical. We have a potential right now, an open window where consumers are on board with doing this. Consumers have incredible buying power. They have incredible power over the direction of our food system. And this is the moment that we have to take advantage of it. And I can tell you that I do get asked quite often if I'll be the agriculture minister if the government changes. And it doesn't matter to me.
I asked you that.
You asked me that. It doesn't matter, because regardless, there will be a lot of work to do on this file. And I will be a champion and an advocate for agriculture regardless. So we can have many people, many new people come into our caucus, and we will all have the same platform to work on. So whoever is agriculture minister will have a plan to follow. And I'm very excited about that. So thank you for coming today, and I'll be very pleased to answer any questions that you have.
Just about three or four questions, maybe, because we'll still want to socialize. So, Karen, go ahead.
I just want to make it quick. Is the crow feed by, in any of those three areas, where does, the food insecurity fit in? Like, how do we get food to the people who really need it? I know that Food Bank Canada does an annual hunger count report, and I know that in this province, a lot of the smaller communities where they're industry towns and those industries start to dry up, but people still have families to raise.
Yes.
And the food banks are drying up and emptying and people are hard to access the food department. So where would that fall?
Well, I started my agriculture critic role up in 100 Mile House, actually. And they have an incredible program that doesn't need a lot of money given to it. It just needs policy support. And what they have is a community kitchen and community gardens. And they invite the community in to help produce that food. And really what they needed was some seed money to get a greenhouse going. They needed the proper equipment in a community kitchen. And education is an excellent tool to help people in that situation. If we teach people and reconnect to people how to prepare their food, whole food, I think that's a huge part of the process. And of course, it would be nice to say that we could just throw a ton of money at a situation, but I don't think it's about that. I think we believe it's about education, so we'll be focusing a lot on that, but also supporting community programs that already exist. We don't need to reinvent the wheel in a lot of cases.
I really like your idea about buying local, sourcing local. That's fantastic. But with the trade deals that the federal government's negotiating, CETA, for example, preventing local sourcing, local assert, how will the government address this?
Yes, and we've thought about that. That's a great question, and we've considered that deeply. Ontario's doing this already. There's a lot of jurisdictions in the United States that are doing this. And the research that we have looked at shows that if you have a procurement policy like this, if you're doing it for climate change reasons, for emergency preparedness, and for health, you can navigate around those trade agreements, and that's a reason why you can do it. We've also been told that we are such a small area that there's people that have already been leading the way on this, so we'll have to watch to see how that goes, but we feel that's quite a safe territory for us to be in.
You recently presented the petitions for the Arctic apple.
Yes.
To the legislature, and that's of course a GMO issue.
Yes.
Where's the government going to be standing on the issue of GMO labeling?
So GMO labeling is a federal issue, and the NDP in Ontario have been, in Ottawa, have been for 8 years now pushing that through as legislation, but it hasn't gone anywhere. What I've said is, from a provincial perspective, we need to push that just as hard from our province. So I put in a private member's motion that required food to be labeled. I've also asked for GMO seed plantings to be tracked in BC. I had a meeting with a grain grower up from the Peace, and also sitting at the table is Monsanto.
Oh.
So Monsanto had done quite a good background check on me, and they knew that I was an organic farmer. So we were already sort of set up for failure, I guess. But I also thought it was a great place to take advantage of the situation. So I asked the grain grower and Monsanto, would it be a problem, or would you have a problem with us tracking this in BC and mapping out where GMOs are planted? and they both said no. In fact, the grain grower said, because of crop insurance, it's quite easily done. So, unfortunately, I think at a provincial level, we can't ban GMOs. We can't legislate them out of our province. There's a lot of them already here being planted. There's a lot of GMO corn. But if we know where they are, I think it leads back to the power of consumers. You know, if you have the right to know what you're eating and where it's coming from, you can make those choices. And that's, I think that's almost more powerful.
That's a labeling issue or something else?
Well, mapping so that you know where it is. So when our seed growers in BC, our certified organic seed growers want to set up shop, they can look at a map and see where the GMO seeds are planted, and they can try and protect their businesses that way. Right now, we have no idea where they are. I have a lot of friends in the seed businesses on Vancouver Island, and they would love to know where the GMO corn is planted so that they can have the right buffers around their farms.
Can they really protect themselves against the GMO seeds? Like, don't they destroy?
Well, you can have buffers. I mean, if you're a certified organic farm, you can have a buffer. You know, whether it's going to work completely, I don't know. I would rather there wasn't GMOs at all, but we can't ban them. Oh, they're already here. They're already here. We can work on things that aren't here, like GMO alfalfa is a very big concern to honeybee people. I was just met with a whole group of people raising honeybees and producing honey from Williams Lake. They're not your typical certified organic farmers. They're not your typical hippy-dippy kind of thinkers like I am. I came from Quadra Island. We've been talking about GMOs for years. But they're concerned because they know it's going to affect their livelihood. It comes back to an economic problem for our producers here in BC.
I have a question about labeling.
Yes.
You said you can't ban growing of GMO because it's a federal issue. What about labeling?
Labeling is a federal issue too, but I think we can push it very hard from BC. Look at, so, power of consumers. What's Whole Foods doing? They're requesting that all products sold in their stores are labeled. And you know, you're going to have that choice.
Yeah,
are you going to buy it? But are you going to buy it?
Well, in Britain, they got the GMOs out of the product because the consumers wrote to manufacturers and said, we boycott your products until you...
Well, it's our responsibility as a province to work with the federal government to push the issues that will affect our province. And that's what we're committed to
but
doing.
But don't you think it's a human rights issue for you to know what you're...
I do. I absolutely
yeah.
do.
We just don't have the power. I think what Lon is saying is we don't have the provincial power to...
The federal
labor.
Government holds that power, but it's our responsibility to push that with them.
Yep.
They're pushing the GMOs.
Yes.
So if Richmond can ban the sale of puppies, how come the province can't ban the sale of whatever? So if they have that power, wouldn't the province have the same power?
To ban the sale of puppies?
You're not allowed to buy a dog in Richmond.
Yeah, that's it's a zoning license. We can ban the sale of dogs in the city.
So they think they can also ban the sale of GMOs in Richmond. They haven't, but at least one person said they have the power.
Yeah.
So if that's true, wouldn't the province have at least that much power?
We don't have the power to ban that.
It's a federal issue. Yeah. Listen, what I'd like to do now is just to say thanks so much to... For Lana, we can still circulate. This is by no means the end of the meeting. I do want to say how important it is that we have got in Lana not only an agriculture critic, but I think we all hope the next Minister of Agriculture in British Columbia, although as she says it doesn't matter. But I think it's so significant that we have somebody in Lana's role who talks about genetically engineered organisms, not to dismiss the issue, who talks about agriculture in terms of bioregions, and who recognizes the important links not only between growing food, but supporting farmers and consuming food. And I think that is an important change in the province of British Columbia. That, and I agree with Lana 100%, we are at a moment now, and I've worked with many people in this room, municipally, on important agricultural issues in this community, because it is a grassroots issue and people get it. People care about what they put in their body, they care about how food's grown, they care about this planet and what changes agriculture can and will make. And we need a government in British Columbia that's actually going to listen to those issues, support people in their communities, and change agriculture in this province. And so, I'm asking you here, in this riding here, of course, I'm going to ask you for your support, talk to your friends, get out and vote, take a sign, make a contribution. Who can't get through a political meeting without that one? To do those sorts of things. But even if you don't live in this riding, talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, ask them to do the same things, because we can change BC. We can change BC for the better, and we can take one practical step at a time to get a modern 21st century agricultural policy that meets the challenges of the future. So thanks all so much for coming.
Forty-two
is my standard answer. There you go.
42?
Okay, go ahead.
You are a councillor for this town, right?
City of North Vancouver, yes.
And you're also standing for election.
Yes.
I hope you win, but if you do, will you still be a councillor or no more?
For about 3 weeks after the election. And then I'll have to be in the MLA.
Can you arm twist the council into declaring itself GM-free within 3 weeks?
Here we come.
We're going to try.
They're coming.
We wanted to find out when Craig would take his seat.
It's not my seat yet. So anyway, so we're going to move on that issue. So thanks all for coming. We'll have lots of chance to chat and mingle. And again, Jeremy, Bonnie, thanks very much for offering that beautiful. I really appreciate it. Thank you.